Good morning. I'm Dan Brown, your August Council Representative. As we worship, indeed, as we live, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to our Lord Jesus Christ, so we can lay aside every weight and sin. Welcome to worship, one and all, no matter where you are in your faith journey. We extend a special welcome to those of you in worship with us and through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online on our website at zionlisur.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, prayer requests, and if you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so we can personally greet you. Today's radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The sermon this morning is titled, "Which Turkey Would You Dance With?" by Pastor Jan. August is Zion's food shelf month. Volunteers are needed to help at the food shelf. There's a sign-up sheet on the table. The Lisur food shelf is also accepting donations and school supplies for local students. Bring your donations to Zion through the end of the month of August. On Sunday, September 14th, the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 or older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark the date on your calendar and join the members of Zion in worship. The Zion Bell and Adult Choir are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on September 10th. Please submit items to the Zion Herald by Wednesday, August 20th. The Minnesota New Country School in Henderson has a Bloodmobile this Friday, August 22nd. There are 19 open slots between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Five of them are Power Red, Be a Hero, and Save Lives. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend and worship in person. Now please welcome Bob Brown for a special announcement.
Thank you, Dan. I've got two announcements. First one regarding our pastor search. The entire council met with Reverend Cindy Mueller, Minister for Congregations in Transition, last Tuesday evening to go over the process of selecting a transition pastor and then a settled pastor. A search committee for the interim pastor has been appointed. The co-chairs are Eileen Wells and Dan Brown, and they are joined by other members, Barb Mostaghimi, Chastity Jones, and Samantha Jones. They are in the process of creating a 3 to 5 page document outlining the qualities we would like to see in an interim pastor. Please pray for God's guidance for these people that they may be successful in finding a great interim pastor to bridge the gap until we can hire a new settled pastor. The second announcement is in regard to our fundraising projects. There's great news on the fundraising for the heating improvements. We have reached our goal of $100,000. Thank you so much to all who have given so far. However, we hope you remember that when we started this campaign, we also said we were going to need funds for the south parking lots, which you may have noticed is all torn up. Bad timing, we know, but the city picked the timing for this parking lot project, and we have to go along with it. The amount we will owe the city for this project is about $90,000. Fortunately, we already have $24,000 designated for parking lot repair left over from when we did the north and west lots. This leaves $66,000 to be raised. The church council decided at our last meeting that instead of starting another fundraising campaign for the south parking lot, that we could continue the campaign that is ongoing, but increase the goal by $50,000 to a total of $150,000. If we can achieve this amount, that leaves still $16,000 that we are proposing we would pay from earnings from our investments, which have been performing very well. If we should happen to go over the extra $50,000, then we can leave those funds in our investment accounts. I realize these numbers are hard to follow as I'm reading them, so look for this announcement in the bulletin next week and in the Zion Herald, and it might be able to easier to follow those numbers. Now let us worship.
Let us run. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You can't follow Christ sitting down. Others have run this race and finished strong. Their example moves us. We can do this too in Christ. Let's not sit out today. Let's get up. Let's strip off everything that makes us slow. Let's throw off every sin that trips us up. The course is marked. We are equipped. The race is now. Let's keep our eyes on Him and run.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this time of worship. Will you please join with me now in our call to worship? The one who commands the clouds calls us to be poured out for others. Which quenched the fires of hatred. The one who creates mercy and hope longs for a world of fairness and grace. We can, by faith, let righteousness and justice be our constant companions. The one who is with us in every moment composes a love song for our hearts. We can, by faith, teach this song to everyone we meet. Please rise now as you are able and join together in our opening hymn, number 381. trusting in the goodness of God, let us pray together our prayer of confession. Loving God, what more can we say that you don't know already? You long for justice for all people, but it is washed by the flood of violence in our world. You hope that righteousness will walk with us, but you hear the cries of those who are oppressed. You ask us to speak for those in need, but we remain silent and turn away. Forgive us, righteous one. Have mercy when we do not bear the fruit we could. Even though we have not lived our faith to the fullest, may we receive the promises of hope and grace you have given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray together in silence. Amen. Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this. When we didn't measure up, when we lived in darkness, Christ died for us. Christ rose in power for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are loved and accepted as we are today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Forgiven and set free, let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
We begin our time of prayer in the silent meditations of our own hearts. Let us pray. Our merciful and gracious God, we thank you this day for the rain that falls, and everywhere throughout our world, The rain often seems too much or not enough. We thank you that in your bounty, Lord, in your generosity, you cause it to rain upon us to nurture our fields, to bring food and life to this world. We thank you for all who take part in bringing that about, your servants. Forgive us, though, our lack of creativity when we are unable or fail to share the bounties of this world inequitably. Forgive us when we tarnish our political allegiances and processes with greed and for failing the needy of this world. Save us, Lord. Save us from the destructive behaviors that your saints outlined for us, especially our beloved Paul, the enmities and grudges we nourish, the strife and jealousy and anger that characterizes much of our interactions. Lead us, Lord God, in the ways of the fruits of your Spirit. We thank you too, gracious God, for all the blessings that are ours this morning, for eyes that opened up, for hearts that beat within us, for a time to gather and worship, Lord. And in so doing, Lord, we remember all those who made our worship service possible. The volunteers and staff of this church who work hard to make this be a service that glorifies you and nurtures our spirits. Help us, Lord, in this overly serious and sometimes gloomy world to know and experience real joy. Because we know that in Christ, you have helped us to overcome this world. We pray this morning for all those in our number, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and some far distant from us who need your healing touch, who require your care, your love, and good health. Restore to them, Lord, the ability to return to the routines of life that they enjoy. Grant to them peace in their suffering. And grant to all those who care for them the wisdom, patience, and courage to continue that journey with them. God, we ask this morning that you raise our sights, that you raise our national vision, Lord, that you grant to us freedom from the partisan striving and politics that so characterize our national conversation. God, you are the giver of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Make of us now, each of us, Lord, makers of peace. Grant to us tolerance and understanding for people. May we hold dear all these freedoms that we cherish, those that have been granted to us not only by our ancestors in faith, but especially by your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The same Lord who taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm reading this morning from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, continuing through chapter 12, verse 5. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put enemies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations upon all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was driving up the hill on Madison Avenue in Mankato a few years ago, and despite the fact that it was fall, it was actually pretty warm that day. Late afternoon, traffic was stopped at the light, and when I looked to my left, I beheld a sight straight out of a cable comedy show. Two guys dressed in turkey costumes out in front of an oil change retailer. You probably know what I'm talking about. They had a sign between them advertising discount oil changes. You couldn't miss them. So when the light turned green, I kind of pulled away from the stoplight a little bit too slowly, enough at least, though, to get a good look at those antics. Other drivers I know were gawking, too. One of the guys dressed like a turkey was obviously not very much into his assignment that day. He sort of swayed back and forth, and he pointed at the sign. He did a couple of unenthusiastic kicks, but they looked more like an embarrassed tick. But next to him on the other side of the sign, it was a different story. That turkey could have landed a spot on Dancing with the Stars. He strutted. He flapped his wings. He nodded his head so that plastic beak looked more like a wild bird in search of food. And then he kind of straightened up and shook his head back and forth. That turkey really earned his paycheck that day. That lazy turkey, on the other hand, he was a total disappointment. He probably got paid the same thing, but he was basically just putting in his time. So if you had a choice, which turkey would you dance with? The one with the attitude problem? Or the one who was giving 100%? Today I want to pull back the curtain on what I believe to be this central verse from this lesson from Hebrews today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance, 100%, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We've called this book of Hebrews a letter, but it's actually more like a sermon if you attempt to read it. Maybe you will today. It was an account, actually, of those who kept the faith. They endured against all odds in this very fast-changing world in second century Christianity. They were persecuted. They were ignored. They were blamed for all sorts of calamities. How'd they do that? How'd they get through all that? It wasn't because of protein shakes or because they owned the greatest running shoes, and not because they thought they were the fastest ones, nor did they think they were the strongest ones or the best ones. One biblical scholar put it this way: this great cloud of witnesses, he said, understood themselves as links in an eternal chain of people across the generations, people engaged together in the struggle of holding on to faith and holding on to each other. Each believer, part of this great cloud of witnesses, part of a generational line. Tom Long, the scholar who wrote this book, described the vision this way. Under the tremendous pressure of testing and suffering, the naked eye can see only the enemy, the oppressor. We can see only the jackboot of the tyrant, the scars of child abuse, or the x-rays with the spot on the lung. Faith sees all of that, Long says. Faith doesn't pretend there was no Hitler, no evil, no disease in the world. But faith also sees God. And that's so important, I'm going to say it again. Faith also sees God, the God who promises to bring an end to the harm and the destruction in this world. The God, the same God, who provided us with that great high priest, Jesus Christ. And the author of Hebrews describes Christ in this way, who in every respect has been tested as we are. That vision of the book of Hebrews means that you and I, despite our circumstances, are never alone. Now, we church members sometimes have a hard time putting into words the way that we witness, the ways that we see and hear and feel God's power and presence among us. I sometimes struggle with that too. And yet at the same time, we seek to trust and support and encourage each other, despite our shortcomings. And that's because at some point we realize we need each other. Together we're stronger than any one of us on our own can be. We've caught sight of this realm of God, God's kingdom, and God's spirit at work among us here and now in this life and in the faith that we seek together. To give evidence of God's power and love in this imperfect yet pretty wonderful world. Now, I've heard many times, and I'm sure you have, well, I believe in God, but I don't go to church because I can worship God just as well while I'm hiking in the woods or playing golf or sleeping in. And I have a very short reply to that. Of course you can. You can encounter God's grandeur in nature. But if you fall or get lost, who's going to rescue you? You might be enjoying all that wonderful sunshine, not today. And the click of that well-hit golf ball. But did your caddy sing Amazing Grace? Maybe they did if you hit a hole in one. And you might want time to just read the Sunday paper. I know I do sometimes. You know, pastors feel that way too. But where do you go when you get all that bad news? To whom do you turn? You see, living this Christian faith of ours is not a solo act. It's a communion of saints linking us with people of faith, past, present, and future. And this life is not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. It's a race with a cloud of witnesses all around us, not a Saturday morning jog in the park. This Christian life of ours is a commitment to run with endurance to our victory. And it demands of us discipline. It demands of us self-sacrifice. It might even be mighty inconvenient, because it's certainly not a life of leisure. That's just not the Christian way. We're not sailing around on luxury yachts. In fact, it's more like we're in an old fishing boat and the motor gives out and we're tired of rowing all the time. In fact, if you find Christianity easy, I'd have to wonder if you ever heard Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me. And those TV preachers, well, they're never going to ask you to bake a cake for a funeral, are they? They're never going to ask you to volunteer at church school or work at the food shelf or serve on a committee or serve communion. Especially that one very popular TV preacher. He's never going to ask you to welcome a choir from Uganda or those missionaries we have coming from South America. You see, these acts of service and hospitality are how together we become and are becoming more fully a faithful people, followers of Christ, running the race to keep faith and serve others in this changing world. As I prepare to take my leave from you, I find myself full of memories and emotions. I think of the leaders who serve on council. I think of Sylvia and our funeral volunteers. I think of the women of Ruth's circle and the sound of the choir and the ringing of the bells. I think of those precious kids in my confirmation class and their mentors. I think of the enthusiasm of our fusion kids when they get up and sing in front of church. So which turkey would you dance with? The one who stands around at a distance, complaining, criticizing? Or the ones who accept the community that they've been given and go on to give 100%. Zion, I want you to know this morning that it has been my joy, my privilege to be your happy turkey, to dance with you for these past 2 years. And yet, as inspiring as it's been to watch us grow and learn together, you, the living, I also think of all the men and women of this congregation who've gone on before us to church triumphant. The people who led and taught and served meals and built this church stone by stone. On Tuesday night after council, President Bob Brown and I walked out of the church and we remarked about the big decisions and all the hard work and the generous gifts that you, Zion, can celebrate this year. And as I looked over my shoulder and I saw the shadows and the silhouette of this building, I thought not only about us, but all those saints who went before us and entrusted this place, this ministry, to us. To us. Their work and their dreams and their hopes living on through us. And here's the good news. We don't have to finish first. We need only continue this race. And that made me think of a story from football. I don't give many athletic illustrations, but I recall this story about many years ago, back in the 1920s, in fact. Columbia University had a great football coach by the name of Lou Little. And one day, Lou had a sophomore try out for the varsity team, and that boy was really not very good. But Coach Little noticed that there was something really special about him. He had this amazing spirit of enthusiasm. And the coach knew that he didn't really have the skills to play. But he thought, this kid would be great an inspiration on the bench to the rest of the team. I'm probably not going to be able to play this guy, but I want him on the team to encourage other people. And as the season went on, the coach developed this tremendous respect and admiration for the young man. One of the things that Coach Little noticed about him was that when his father came to visit him, that boy would walk arm in arm with his dad around the campus. That young man and his dad were very close. But one day, late in the football season, Coach Little got a phone call reporting that the boy's father had died. And Coach Little was going to have to be the one to report his father's death. After the funeral, Coach Little said to the young man, "Son, is there anything I can do for you? Anything at all?" And the young man said, "Coach, let me start the game next Saturday." It was the final and biggest game of the season, and the coach would have been taking a huge risk to do that. But he decided he should let him start. Leave him in maybe for a few plays and then take him out of the game and let him continue to encourage the other team players. Of course, the team was kind of surprised when Coach Little let that young man start the game after he hadn't played all season long. But the reporter said the young man went to play well during that game, and the coach left him in the entire time, all four quarters. And he was voted the outstanding player of the game. When that game was over, Coach Little came up to him and said, "Son, what got into you today?" And the young man said, "Remember how my dad used to visit me here at school? Well, my father was actually blind, and he could never watch any of our games. So today was the first time he ever saw me play." That's us, isn't it? We go through this life blindly sometimes, often unable to see the grand scope of things, this incredible world we're in, the joy and the triumph that are already ours. But if we continue to fix our eyes on the Son of God, we can know without a trace of doubt that one day we will see it all. But not before we pass the torch to those who come after us. So in the meantime, Zion, I give thanks to the God who created you. Even those of you who are not here this morning, I give thanks to the God who will not let you go. The one who keeps faith in you, especially when the going gets tough and the way is uncertain. So don't stop. Keep running. Amen. We're going to sing a song this morning that is probably unfamiliar to you, but it has such a lovely tune and such wonderful lyrics. I'd like for you to learn it today. "May You Run and Not Be Weary." And Betty Jo will play it through at least once for us, and we'll join together in the singing of it. Thank you. I invite our ushers forward now for the time of the offering. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, number 606. serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.